things for him while when we get to prayer requests. So we're going to read Psalm 107, 1 through 15. I got to order me a bigger print Bible. It's starting to get harder to read. So the title of the lesson is God is a Great God. And it's pretty straightforward, just some points that we need to ponder and keep at the front of our minds and our hearts. Remember to give God the glory and the praise and to spread the word. And that's what we're going to talk about. So I'll read verse 1 through 15. It's a little bit lengthy, so bear with me. Oh, give thanks, God, unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, when he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And we're going to pray now, and then I'm going to talk about what we just read and then kind of go through some bullet points that I jotted down. Heavenly Father, we bow tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord, that we have to come to you. Pray, Lord, that we would always remember to praise you, Lord, and to give you glory for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you that we have you to go to when we place ourselves in a position of wilderness, Lord. And we pray, we're thankful, Lord, that you're faithful to direct us and to guide us, Lord, and help us to get out of trouble that we've gotten ourselves into, Lord. We pray that you bless the message tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd calm my nerves and help me to convey the message that you have for us, Lord. Help us all to learn from it. And in these things, in Jesus' name we ask, amen. So, we read that. It was here under Brother Reynolds preaching for a long time. Verse 2, I don't know how many times I've heard him cite that, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And that's so important to us. And it's a little sidebar off message a little bit, but we don't need to be a quiet, meek people. We need to be vocal. We need to praise the Lord. We need to tell people what God's done for us. But we also, you know, you can take that in a lot of different directions. Brother Reynolds often used that verse to convey the importance of standing up for what's right and not being one that just sits around and takes it. And that doesn't mean that we need to go out and be, brawlers and fight all the time. But we need to stand up for what's right. Silence is sometimes endorsement. You know, it's consent, and that's not what we should do. So that verse is very important to me. It's one that's been drilled in my head for over 20 years, so I take it very literal. The other day when Brother Kastner was talking about, you know, the Baptist, teachings and why we're Baptist, what makes a Baptist, that verse comes to my mind there, too. We're supposed to be different, and we're supposed to tell people why we're different. But you got to know why we're different. You know, it's not enough to just say, hey, we're Baptist, you know. In today's society, that's kind of a bad word to some people, but it's not. We need to know that. We need to be able to speak up for that. So that's just one verse that I like to talk about. And when I read this passage, I think about the wilderness and how we can put ourselves in situations to where we're just kind of wondering, and we're not wondering with an O, but with an A. And we're, you know, put ourselves in a position of confusion and distress, unneeded, our own doings. And so we need to be thankful to God. So The first point, bullet point I want to talk about is to give God the glory. And again, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to tell people about it. It's not, you know, if we're a Christian and we keep it to ourselves, really, what are we doing here? You know, what's our goal in life? What has God put us here for? I tell the kids in my class all the time, and I've always have, is God put us here to work for Him and to witness to the lost. And if we're not doing what He asks us to do, I mean, I don't know. What's the time clock for how long He's going to keep us around? You know, if we're not being used, that time may expire, so we need to be busy. But we shouldn't be doing it for that. We should be doing it because we want to. And we should have a desire to spread the word and to tell people, not only by word, but by action, by our lifestyle, by our example. It's important. It's very important because we are an example no matter what. Right? We're either a good example or we're a bad example. But we're always an example. And so, you know, it's when we're a bad example, we're not only putting ourselves in harm's way, but we're putting our loved ones and other people in harm's way. And that's not a good place to be. As parents, you know, when you're a bad example in front of your kids, you're really, that's dangerous grounds. And then the first time your kids, how many parents probably has never, you know, never experienced this? I know I did. The first times your kids say or do something that they probably got from you, how convicting is that of your heart? That's when it really hits. I mean, it always does, but when your kids, you know, repeat something, not necessarily terrible, but just probably something that's a bad habit. You know, I've got plenty, Adrian will tell you. And when your kids do it, boy, that's next level conviction right there. Because not only are you seeing a reflection of yourself, but you're seeing something bad that you've taught them and a hindrance that you've taught them and a bad place to be. We're going to talk about children later on in the message. So things that we can give glory for. What's number one? Anybody? Speak it up. Salvation. That's the first one. That's the first thing. And we need to always remember salvation. We need to give God thanks for that because we don't deserve it. I think we all know that. If we got what we deserved, we would be headed towards hell. That's why I never allowed my kids to say the term, that's not fair. Never did. They all did it once. That was it. They didn't do it again because I just want that lesson to be taught that you don't really want what's fair. So we need to always be thankful to God that He gave us salvation. We need to sing about it. We do that regularly. The song Redeemed that we sing here a lot. The words to that, I certainly won't sing it to you, but I'll read you some of the verses and how it applies to this. How I love to redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child. And forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child, and forever I am. And when we sing these songs, we need to really be digesting the words to it. And that's how it becomes praise. If we're just going through the motion, reading the book, and making a noise come out, that's not really praise. So we need to really focus and pay attention to the words and that's when it takes the form of worship, or at least that's my interpretation anyway, and that's my feelings of it. We need to be sincere in our praise, and that's a way of giving God the glory. The ultimate way to give God the glory for our salvation is to tell people, is to witness to people. And some of us are more talented in that area, but we should all still be trying. The first time you lead somebody to the Lord, it's just a different experience that's indescribable. There's nothing really that compares to it. When you lead your kids to the Lord, that's the biggest blessing. You know, for me it was. But at youth camp, I think I've told y'all this before, but when we used to go to youth camp with the kids, I always let, you know, there was a huge group of kids. We probably had, 50 teenagers. I mean, it was a large group. But there was always a couple of kids, I always called them the fringe kids, that weren't part of that group. And that's where I spent my time. Because those kids weren't part of the, the crowd, you know, and they just sat there and watched all the other activities and didn't participate. And I loved sitting there with those guys and those kids. And there was a young man named Eric, and he had a sweet, you know, soul. A sweet spirit about him. He lived in a very difficult situation, a very high crime family, violent crime, drug trade, trafficking. I mean, it was dangerous. But he listened to every word. And Brother Joel Haynes spoke at a couple of our youth camps. And Brother Haynes has a gift to speak to teenagers. It's just something unique. That's his specialty. We all enjoy when he preached revivals here, but when he spoke to teenagers, there's no, by looking at their phone, there's no busy, well, they weren't allowed to have phones. There was no busy hands. Everybody's just locked in. It was amazing, but I went and talked with Eric. I could tell he was under conviction, and he was by himself. All the other kids were together, and got to lead him to the Lord that night. And that was, I'll remember that kid forever. I'll remember that experience forever. He lived in LaPorte or Pasadena. I don't remember one, but we don't need to forget people. We need to remember to witness to them, but don't just witness to the obvious. You know, there's people that we think of that, you know, might be beating your head against the wall to witness to them, but you never give up. As I've told y'all before, my dad was saved very late in life. My kids did not know the man I knew growing up, and I thank God for it. They got to know the man, the new creature, the new man, and it was very different, radically different than what it used to be. And you know, pray for him for your whole life, 40-something years. I mean, but you don't give up, and it can happen. So, don't just go for the obvious, the low-hanging fruit. We go for them too, but the challenges are who we need to. We don't need to forget about them, and just tell them, you know, your experiences. I share my experiences with teenagers, and I have many times over the years of my childhood. You know, it wasn't particularly pleasant. And so sometimes you can, you know, your life experiences might be something that they can relate to. And it helps to tell it. Jose's got a testimony that'll blow your mind if he ever tells it all to you. I mean, some of the things that he experienced and went through and saw, and it's terrifying. But God's so good. He gets us out of that. God is great. And it removes us from those situations. If you were raised in a Christian home, it's a blessing. That's all I'll say. It's a blessing. And it's something you should never take lightly. I say this every time I get up here. It seems like, but those men that drove that bus to Bayshore that picked me up when I was a kid, I'll never forget them. That's the only way I got to experience God's greatness. And I appreciate them. The man that drove the bus, I actually saw him many years later, unfortunately, at Amanda's funeral. He was there, but I did get to speak to him, and that was a blessing. His name was John. I don't remember his last name. Brother Reynolds could tell you. But Brother Reynolds was the associate pastor at the church I got saved at many years after I got saved there, so he knows a lot of the same people. It's funny how everything goes full circle. He married the Castors, and it's just a... You know, it's crazy how it all works, but it's all in God's plan. So we need to also thank God, give God the glory for all that we are. We're not a perfect people, but we're able to get up and come to church. We need to give God glory for everything that we are. Any successes we've had are God. God did that. We didn't do anything. It's easy to get caught up in our jobs or accomplishments or things that we have done, but we've got to remain humble and give God the glory for that. If you get on easy street at some point, financially or with your job or with anything, if we're not careful and we're not continually praising God and thanking God, it's easy to get complacent and lose sight of where those blessings came from. And that's a bad place to be. I've done that. I don't know if anybody else has. But you think, I got it licked, you know. And you still pray and you're living for the Lord, but you're losing focus of why life is not stressful in a specific area right now. It's because of the Lord. Any victory we have is because of Him. And we need to remember that and give God the glory and the thanks, you know, and appreciation for all that we are, all that our family is, all that our church is. And, you know, the other thing is we need to give God glory for the things that we have. When do we tend to go to God when it concerns our health? What's our habit? It's to go to Him when we've got something wrong, right? When things are good, we need to be continuously thanking Him for that. Brother Gary, for his age, he's just a couple years older than me, so I'm not saying he's an old man. He's got the best health of anybody I've. That man has nothing wrong with him. I mean, he's a picture of good health. So that's a blessing. And it really is. I mean, sometimes I think, wow, why do I have so many little issues? Nothing major except for when I had cancer. But, you know, that's what God's got for me. And so I need to thank God. You know, and of course, after having cancer for many years, every time I go for a checkup, I'm really getting close to the Lord. You know, but I'm really thanking Him after the results, you know what I mean? But you need to continually thank Him. I mean, I could have died. They told me I had 10 months. You know, had God not intervened when He did, strictly coincidental, it was from a physical, no symptoms, I wouldn't have lived 10 to 12 months, they said, at MD Anderson. And it was God, and I remember that, and I thank God for that, and I don't take it for granted. So remember, with our health, we need to praise God for when it's good. Josh, you're young and healthy. Praise Him a lot for it right now. It doesn't always feel the same, but and Josh is very good about taking care of his health. I have to give that young man credit there. He's very diligent in that regard, and it's smart, because when you get older and you've abused your body, it's not good. It hurts. So I guess it's odd, since I'm turning 60 next year, it's all kind of really fresh in my mind when I put that note down. We need to thank God for our possessions, and not that I'm saying in a greedy way, but simple things, a house, a car, a way to get around, a church building. It's not necessarily a personal possession, but corporately it's a possession. A building is something that we have to come to. It's not, you know, a great majestic building in the world's eyes, but it's a good place or we wouldn't be here. And we need to thank God for it, and we especially need to thank Him for these chairs. That's been a blessing. Those help a lot. So all of our possessions, we need to think about it, a car, our food, our clothing, our house, God's Word. No, absolutely. Thank you, Brother John. We need to thank Him for everything that we have, because it's through Him that we have it. I think a lot of us, most of us in here, have been at a point in life where we didn't have stuff that maybe we wanted. We always have what we needed, but sometimes you wondered how you were going to get what you needed. It was last minute, and it's always just enough. You know, God, that's God. It's, you know, it's amazing how many times in our younger marriage, when I don't know how this is going to work. What are we going to do? Kids are little, got two in diapers, two in formula. I'm not making enough money, but always God came through. It's insane how it works. It's just amazing, and we need to continually be in prayer about that. And just a sidebar, and not worry about it. Have faith. And that was my weakness, very much so a weakness when I was younger, was just worrying. And I've told you all that story a million times, but staying up at night and worrying. Now I just stay up at night when Elizabeth's out of town and her dog keeps me up all night, like last night. I'm so sleepy. Ugh. When you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you hear a dog hyperventilating in your ear, it's not a good feeling. So when she's gone, just know I'm not sleeping. So it was a crazy night last night. I did a lot of praying. Oh, anyway, we need to be thankful. Other things that we have, our daily needs. You know, I mentioned a lot of those in our possessions, but our daily needs are met. Sometimes we take those for granted because it's just habit. Want something, go to HEB or go to Walmart, or, you know, we just do it. But we got to remember who gave us the ability to go there and who gave us the means to pay for all of that and the means to get there to do that. And so we need to always keep that in the front of our mind. In verse 8, we read, that we needed to give God the praise. I'll read that again. Know that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. It's our duty. In Hebrews 13, it says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In that first half of verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, is absolutely critical in giving God praise for us. That's our duty. It's not a luxury. It's not, well, just do this if you want to. That's our duty. Our duty is to give God praise for what He's done for us. And to give God glory for it. In Acts 16:25, we need to give God praise despite our circumstances. If y'all want to turn there, I kind of went through Hebrews fast. Acts 16:25, and this is so symbolic of, you know, how we sometimes maybe, not symbolic, I mean, this was real, but it's the perfect example of how we are to deal with difficult situations. Because most often, or not most often, more often than it should be, our answer is to stay up worrying. But that's not the answer. Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Of course, where were Paul and Silas at during that prayer? They're in prison. Doesn't get much difficult, more difficult than that. So despite our circumstances, we need to praise God. We had, when Adrian and I first got married, we went to church, and there was a young preacher, like just turned 18. But he was talking about how he had, was installing a window unit air conditioner, and somehow his thumb got smashed, and he said, and I had to praise God for it. He said, that was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. He was just a kid, real country. It was pretty funny, but we need to praise God for everything about our despite our circumstances. Sometimes we miss a flight. We are late to somewhere. We miss an appointment at a doctor or whatever. Well, that might be God protecting us from a wreck or other problems. You never know what God's protecting us from. Sometimes we can't let circumstances dictate our connection with God. We've got to be thankful for everything. And sometimes it's difficult, you know. I mean, it's sometimes difficult to put yourself beyond the circumstance. But remember, God hadn't left us. God's there. He could be protecting us. And that's a lesson I've always tried to teach the kids. We don't need to walk around disappointed and frowning and long-faced. In 1 Peter 2:9, it talks about how we're made to praise. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And that's a word we always have to remember. We're peculiar. We're supposed to be peculiar anyway, which, for those that don't know, peculiar is different. We're different than the world, and we're supposed to act that way, and we shouldn't be ashamed of it. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Once you're saved, that's what God made us for. We're there to praise Him. We're made for this. You've heard, and I don't know, I watch sports probably more than I should, but you've heard, you know, there's a saying in sports where they always say, you were made for this, like when you're going up to bat or something. Well, really, that term is more applicable to our Christian walk. We're made for this. If we're saved, if we're a new creature, if we're a child of God, we're made to praise Him. We're made to show glory. And to give glory to God for what we are. In verse 21 of the original reading, it said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And we just got to remember to teach our children. We have to teach our children. Y'all know I've always got a soft heart towards kids, but we've got to teach our children. And that doesn't mean just our birth children. Our grandchildren, it could be our neighbor's kids, it could be you know, volunteering in the community with whatever you do. Kids that we come across, we've got to take every opportunity to educate them, to teach them about the Lord. It's not easy. But, as I mentioned earlier, those men from Bayshore, thank God they had an interest in me. Thank God that they fulfilled that responsibility that God gave them. And when I would hear those old springs ricketing around the corner from that bus, I knew they were coming. I mean, I could hear it in my house. That was louder than a horn, so I knew to run out. And the Sunday school bus was there. And I'm thankful for that. But we have a duty. We have an obligation to young people and to kids. And sometimes you're the only Jesus they're ever going to hear, you know, the only time they're ever going to be told. And those people, when we go out on outreach, it's really glaring. How many people, when I was young, and everybody in here, you know, for the most part, except maybe Josh and maybe Irene, when we were young, everybody knew the basics. I mean, everybody knew who Jesus was. Now, you hear all kinds of stuff. I mean, this one kid that Josh and I talked to a year ago, probably, remember, that was watching all the cosmic videos on YouTube, and he was very passionate about it, but he was just very misinformed. He was way off, but nobody knows, or not nobody, but very few people know the basics and don't understand who or what Jesus is. And that comes from having a lost generation. The young people aren't taught. You know, remove prayer from public school. We, you know, taught that they can't be told anything about Jesus. But they can be taught how evil Jesus is. That's what they're taught, how evil Christians are. And they're taught, you know, when Elizabeth was young and and she was in private school. I mean, not in public school, when we had to pull them out of private school. Me and the music teacher had a big, big fight because they wanted her to sing some stuff that was related to the Muslim religion. It ain't going to happen. That's just not going to happen. That's not part of it. It's not going to happen. But we got to stand up and fight them. But most parents don't. They allow it. So their minds are being conditioned by evil. They're not being taught good. They're not being taught the word. They're being taught the opposite of the word. They're basically taught to be hostile to the word. So we've got to teach the kids. And the best way to teach a kid is by action. The example we are, being friendly, standing up for right, teaching them right from wrong. That's the best example. It's not going to be simply from, here, let me just yell at you for them. When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So that's showing a full commitment right there. It's not a glancing, half-hearted effort to teach the children. It's all in. Especially children you're raising, your own children, you have to be all in. Because what do kids look for in those that are teaching them? They look for inconsistencies. They look for excuses to go do something stupid. It's just the truth. I mean, if we show one inconsistency, one break in our behavior, oh, Dad did it. That's what they look for. And if they can, you know. That's why I don't think it's a good idea. And Brother Reynolds always taught this, but I believed it before he taught it. But don't go tell your kids all the stupid things, every stupid thing you ever did when you was a kid, because it gives them an excuse to go be stupid. Oh, Dad made it, you know. I don't share all that because I was stupid. I'm not going to lie. I did a lot of foolish things. The Lord, you know, somehow saw fit to bring me through all of my shortcomings. But we got to teach children. We got to be consistent. And we've got to be willing to speak. And not all of us have a gift to speak to kids. It's a different approach. But we can still be encouraging and a good example and share with them what the Lord's done for us. And I mean, if you think you do have a gift with kids, use it. I mean, don't waste it. So in closing, I'll close real quick. We've got a lot of prayer requests tonight and a prayer letter to read from Brother Aswar. But God's done a lot for us. He's done a lot for every one of us. He's giving us the opportunity to worship Him in freedom and choice. Some of our missionaries live in countries, not right now as many are in dangerous countries that are hostile, but there are still some. You know, the Philippines is a place where there is some militant Muslims there, but we don't, you know, Papua New Guinea can have some trouble uprisings sometimes. So we do have some people, and then in Africa, some of our missionaries there, it's come across some trouble, but we need to be thankful for our freedom to worship, to praise God, and everything that God's done for us. He's done a lot for us, both in our family lives and in our church life. He's blessed us. He's protected us. You know, our little church here, he's just blessed us and given a lot to us over the years. And there's been a lot of evil that's come in and tried to tear us apart. And the Lord has saw fit to help us fight that off and remain a body. And we're in good shape. We have a good spirit. We have a lot of love for each other. And we need to be thankful for it and tell people about it. So that is the lesson for tonight. I hope I didn't put anybody to sleep. I'm going to read a mission letter from the Aswar.